Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that will discuss deep theology in a simple way.
If you're interested in theology but don't consider yourself a theologian, this is the show for you.
We're Josh and Heather Tice, and we minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You can find this and previous episodes on our iTunes podcast or at KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio.
It's time for a little fun, so let's get started.
Okay, let's do it.
Episode 13, at last.
Episode 13. This is like bad luck episode.
I know.
Yeah.
And we're talking about travel, so that's going to be interesting.
Okay, I'm fine.
Let's start with something to get the communicative juices flowing.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready to go.
Here's your fun question.
Yeah.
If a makeover show went through your closet, what would be the first item they would toss out?
My Captain America t-shirt.
What? I thought this was going to be a struggle for you because you're pretty fashionable.
I know,
and you're good at throwing things away.
Here's the problem. I have that t-shirt. It's about almost 10 years old, I think. And it's a little big, and it's a little baggy, but it's so comfortable.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking for your answer, but I couldn't think of anything you have that's really shabby.
There's a couple things that I need to get rid of. Yes.
I know for a while you had some big suits that were just loose and loosey-goosey needed to go.
It's because I've lost weight and I'm in such great shape. Right,
yes.
Heather?
Yes, it is. You're fantastic.
I feel like I was fishing for a compliment.
I think you're very,
okay, that's
very
enough.
Hot.
Our audience doesn't need to hear
okay.
this.
For me, this is tougher because of the two of us, you're the one who cleans out your closet so well.
Yes.
You get rid of stuff. I get attached to things.
Yeah.
And
sentimentally.
So, yes. And there's two things. It's not even sentimental. It's just like there's no emotional meaning. I just really like those shoes or that top.
Right.
And I wear them out because I have good memories of the last time I wore it.
Right.
Which, you know, needs to go away. But I noticed the other day my shoes. I wear shoes and it's hard because I get them broken in. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You feel me here. They are really cute shoes, but I've worn them to the point that, you know, you don't get the blisters like you do at the beginning. So they're really comfortable. But then I've looked at the back of them, especially heels. I walk through rocks and different things, and so many of my heels are all scratched up at the heel. Like the leather's all ripped and torn.
So you got to get rid of the shoes.
Oh, I know. If a fashionista came in my closet, she would just... Then I have to shop for new ones. And I have to break them in. It's a whole thing.
If you had a husband who loved you, he would buy you new shoes.
Yeah, I don't have time to go pick them out, though. I do have a husband who loves me, and he encourages me to get new things. Even the other thing I've got to say...
Hold on, I feel like this is a trap.
White shirts and white blouses. I buy them, they're wonderful, they're pristine,
they
get dingy.
Look, white stuff, it has a shelf time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you got to throw it away.
I find that one that fits just right, and then I'm not going to find that fit again. So I just keep wearing it and looking tacky.
Hey, you know what? When it comes to clothes, I mean, I totally understand how important it is to get the right thing at the right time. And that's what we did. We just recently went shopping for our trip to Israel, right?
Yes, we did. We went to Israel and got some good shopping, got some things to wear. So let's talk about Israel today.
That's what
our podcast is. It is 5 reasons that you should go to Israel with Josh and Heather.
Hey, yeah, not just 5 reasons why you should go. Definitely go to Israel, but definitely you ought to go with us. Because
why?
Well, this is an overall reason, not part of my 5. Overall reason is because we're amazing. I mean,
goodness.
No, look. You would not, let me make my case. You would not be listening to episode 13 of The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather if you didn't love us.
Maybe someone's making them listen to it.
Somebody's sitting their children down. Well, of course, we make our children listen. But other than that, they're doing it out of their own free will. See last episode. And they connect with us. Okay, so maybe we're not amazing, but somehow our strange personalities and our love of the Bible have connected to these people, right? And so now they're like, man, I really like Josh and Heather. I like their view of the Bible. Okay, so come to Israel with us.
Okay.
Because we're awesome.
Okay.
And Israel's awesome, and you're awesome too, listener to this show.
Wow, that was a lot of awesomeness.
Yeah. Everything is awesome.
Okay, so let's start with the fifth reason and work our way to the top reason.
Okay, now you've got five and I've got five.
Yes.
Top five reasons why you should come to Israel with us in 2019. By the way, you really can. All they need to do if they want to join us for our trip to Israel, you can actually already sign up and get a seat with us. It's November of 2019. Heather's rolling her eyes because I'm making it sound like a commercial.
I'm not rolling my eyes. There was no eye roll.
But you literally can. You can contact our church offices, Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas, and you can sign up to come with us in 2019. We're taking a bus of 55 people, and if we have more than that, we'll take two buses. Our tour guide is able to do that as well. So
all right,
we're going to
so
have a great
I'm
time.
I'm going to start with the most obvious. That's my number five. The most obvious, I think the one that you think of when you think about going to Israel is the fact that you can get a better picture of the stories of the Bible.
Yeah.
That's what we all think of. And it's really true. Continually, I think this thing that I kept saying most is, this is not how I pictured it. And in some ways, that was a good thing because it was so much better more often than I pictured it.
Yeah, a lot of people.
That brought the Bible to life.
I've heard people say, I don't want to go because I have a certain view of the way the Bible tells this story. I don't want to go because I have a certain perspective on how I see it and I don't want it to be ruined. Yet the reality is it doesn't diminish how you view the scripture. It so enhances how you see the scripture. It's like saying, I don't want to ruin my favorite movie by seeing it in high definition. No, it's not going to diminish the movie. You're going to see Jimmy Stewart in crystal clear HD quality. And you're going to hear what Mr. Potter is mumbling under his breath. You see, that's what makes it even better.
I'm going to give two illustrations of two things that I was surprised at.
Okay.
There were so many, but two of my favorite stops. One was in Getty. We had the chance to go by where David would have been hiding in the cave from Saul. And it was so interesting. Our tour guide said, this was the land of the outlaws. So it's kind of like the old west of Israel. And where the brook was, we were at, we know David would have been right around there because it's the only brook in the area. Mm. And you can see all these caves up on the cliffs, just all over. And it was just beautiful. It was very deserty, very much like I pictured here, but it was just something I'll never forget. And picturing David, picturing Saul looking for David there, I don't think I'll ever read that passage the same way. The other one was when we went through the old streets of Jerusalem, around the areas that the Lord would have carried the cross. And, you know, I've seen the movies, and it doesn't quite capture it. Those streets are much more narrow than we picture on the big screen. They would have been crowded with people with the Passover. I mean, I'm picturing all the people there and then this humiliating procession of the cross. And so much of it was even uphill. I never thought about, you know, when I even just go jogging, it shocks me when there's even a little bit of an incline. I notice it. And then I imagine bearing that cross and already you're exhausted. You've been beaten, whipped, and then going uphill through so much of it and the narrow streets of maneuvering it. So it just really, to me, it was one of those things, again, that just gave me a new perspective that helped me envision something, how it really would have been.
So your fifth reason is?
You can get a better picture of the scripture and the stories in the Bible.
Okay, here's my number five. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be a little unconventional. Why you should go with us to Israel. You're not going to expect it at all.
Okay.
The hotels.
The hotels?
I know, it doesn't seem biblical at all. In fact, much of mine are not.
Okay.
But the hotels that we stayed in, were amazing. Now, the one in Galilee, we stayed for 3 nights. Mm-hmm. It was right on the Sea of Galilee. So every morning, the sun would rise right outside of our window, and it was right on the sea, so you could walk right out there and see it. Now, the hotel,
You could see the sea?
You could see the Sea of Galilee from our window. And so it really was amazing. Now, the hotel itself, location, 5-star. I'd say the hotel itself was probably about a 3-star.
Right.
To be honest, it wasn't.
The location was great though, because it was on the edge of town. So
yeah,
if you wanted to go running, you could go one way into the town and tour the town, or you could go the other way and just go along the coastline.
Yeah, we
which
did that
was beautiful.
One night, or one morning, early in the morning, we went running before the sun came up and watched the sunrise over the Galilee. It was amazing. And then the hotel in Jerusalem was probably one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed.
Views
in.
Of the city, like you wouldn't believe.
In fact, if you see a view, if you take a picture of the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock on it, oftentimes in that photograph, if you Google Dome of the Rock. Oftentimes in the background in Jerusalem, you'll see the hotel, the Leonardo, Plaza Leonardo, where we stayed. You'll see it in that photograph. It's amazing. So it's right there, and we're going to stay there each time. So I would say, I know it's weird, I'd say number five, the hotels.
I agree. Number four for me, you need to go to eat shawarma and falafel. And I'm naming those two because here's the thing. We do love Mediterranean food.
Goodness.
We eat it quite a bit here. And I'm going to tell you, there's a couple things here in the States. I think the cucumber salads are better here. Maybe they've got more salt in them. But what cannot be matched by any means is the street shawarma, which is like shaved meat in a pita. I'm telling you, I've had it here many different places.
There's nothing like
the fresh ingredients, the fresh vegetables that they include there, the tahini sauce that they put in it.
I want some of that tahini sauce.
The street food there. And falafel. I don't even like falafel here. Had it several times. It's just okay. It's a fried chickpea ball, basically.
You know, you don't have to eat it.
It sounds terrible.
You know, you don't have to eat it.
What do you mean you don't have to eat it?
Some people don't like to eat it. You know why?
Why?
It makes them falafel.
That's pretty funny. I like that.
Do you see what I did there?
It doesn't make you falafel in Israel. It is every time I had falafel there, it was so flavorful. It was like the best, most amazing food I've ever had. So I will say you've got to go there to have shawarma and falafel straight from one of the street vendors. Amazing.
Okay, well, you're going to guess my number four. I'm coming right off of yours. You said the falafel and you said
the shawarma.
The shawarma. I put as my number four just the food and I included dancing. So let me explain.
Yes.
So the food and dancing is my number four. I kind of put two in there. I slipped it in. But the food, first of all, a lot of people don't realize when you go, all of your breakfasts are taken care of at a beautiful breakfast buffet. All of your dinners are taken care of for, and several of your lunches are. But the food is abundant. I mean, plenty of food and delicious. You just named a few of the things. But then also the dancing. Several times. Now, I grew up, I didn't do much dancing, you know. But when you go to Israel, oh my word, we danced probably, I don't know. How many times did we do the Hava Nagila dance and other dances? We danced at the Western Wall. We danced on the boat in the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
We danced
really
at our final night buffet.
It's the dance where you're in a circle and you know, step with your right foot and then step back and then step with your right. And you're just going around in the circle and then forward and back. It's a lot of fun.
We danced all over the place and it was just fun. And
we danced at bat mitzvahs.
We were at several street bar mitzvahs, and it was just a great time. Look, Israel is a great trip, and it's really a lot of fun just to go and
dance. When the women went over to the Western Wall, we went, there's a men's side and a ladies' side.
Yeah.
And, of course, we went on the ladies' side, and the women were just singing. It was Shabbat and dancing, and we were able to, they pulled us right in. You know, of course, we didn't know most of the words, but we were able to join in with them. And it was just one of the most amazing experiences.
Cultural experiences in the world. Yeah, it was amazing. In fact, it's funny. You think, oh, maybe I'm too reserved to do something like that. Well, what cracks me up is Melanie Graves, who is my secretary, my administrative assistant. She's so funny. In our final meeting of the week, the final night, right before we're saying our goodbyes and stuff, she speaks up and she says, I have one question. And we said, yes, Melanie. There's 50 of us sitting there. She's like, can we dance one more time? And it was so funny. Everybody laughed and we jumped up. We turned on the music and we danced and sang one more time. It is just so much fun. So that's what I would say number four for me. What about number three for you?
Number three, I would say for those really sentimental, very sacred moments that you're going to experience. So for me, my favorite moment for sacred moments was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. So our tour guide is amazing. He was able to get us time alone in the garden. So there's all these people lining up waiting to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's one of the places that has not been built up very touristy. It's still very much an olive grove. You can even see the trees that are very ancient. They look gnarled and different. You can spot them easily that would have been there at the time of Christ. But we've got this whole garden area where you can walk to the trees. And our tour guide knows people and has great connections and was able to get us 45 minutes alone in the garden. We were able to have a short service. And then it was just that moment of meditation.
Which is wild. I've been there before. And it is crazy packed, that place. But he was able to secure 45 minutes alone, doors locked, gates locked, with us just in the garden by ourselves.
And we were able to have a special service, and you just had that moment to really think about what Christ went through, what it would have been like. You can see the city up on the hill.
And even better
than
the...
You're facing it.
Even better than the, like, musical worship or the Bible studies that we had together was the private time we had alone.
Yes.
To just talk to God.
And so to be able to go after that service, after meditating about what Christ would have done, after, as you're listening to the scripture being read and you're looking at the city, you're picturing the nighttime, you're picturing the Lord with the disciples there, to be able to go apart by yourself and thank him for that, to be able to go and pray where Peter, James, and John were not praying, we're sleeping, but we're invited to pray, and where the Lord himself prayed, and to just... To be there on the ground, touch those trees, and have that quiet time. That's moments like that, as they say, are priceless.
I agree. Absolutely. You know, that leads me to my number three. And my number three, I would say, is the tour guide.
Yes. His name is Ezer, which means helper.
Right.
Strong helper. And that's exactly what he is.
I honestly think the success for an Israel trip has everything to do with the tour guide that you're going to be with. Though you're going to see the places.
Yes.
Israel is not a place you want to be without a good tour guide. And here's a man who is who lives there. His father was a tour guide, started back after the 1967 war as a tour guide, and was a tour guide for decades before passing away and then leaving the business to his son, Ezer.
Ezer said as a four-year-old boy, he would sit there on the step next to the driver on the bus and would tour with his father. And he can remember, he also says, he's got cute stories too, even as a child, of like when people would go into a place where they'd take off their shoes, he would switch up their shoes so the Americans would have to hunt for where their shoes were. I thought that was adorable. I could picture a little boy doing that. But he's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, the Bible knowledge alone, combined with the historical knowledge of the land, is fascinating. I learned so much. I mean, this is just for our audience's sake. I have a Bible degree in theology. I have a master's degree in theology. I have a second master's degree in ministry and advanced theology. And I'm learning and taking notes every day from this man who has given tours his entire life and does this professionally. But he's also a man who was willing to kind of push the envelope.
Yes.
And make things happen for our tour that don't happen on normal tours. So that he was not intimidated at all when we got into a place that was a little crowded. He was completely in control, made everyone feel utterly safe, completely at ease in every situation. And when you go to a place like Israel, you want to feel safe.
Yes. And you will, by the way. There's some people have concerns about that. Little children are on the street playing happily content without their parents' supervision. It's a very, very safe city. Ezer does a wonderful job.
Yes.
I can't say enough good about him. We've traveled. We've done tours quite a bit ourselves.
Right.
And I will say he far surpasses any tour guide that we've ever had. He's laid back. I don't know how he does it, how he can be so laid back and enjoyable and yet still allow us to see so very much. Any requests, we had several special requests and things that he made happen. For example, we got to go into Samaria, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, and we got to see the Samaritan temple and things there that weren't on the list, but that Josh requested on the recommendation of friends of his back here, and Ezer just made it happen. He's always finding samples, and he has such a good relationship with the people at the places we go to. He's been going there for years. He knows where that back entrance is. He knows how to get, you know, to that section a different way that the other tour guides don't, or he's friends with the owner. And so I've never been so impressed with a tour guide as with Ezer.
So what would you say your number three is?
Number two, you mean?
Oh,
my
number two
is that I think anytime you travel anywhere, it opens up your understanding of culture. And things that you didn't understand before about people. In this place, I would say even about religion. I would say religious zeal. Seeing different cultures, seeing different people, hearing the priest in Samaria talk to us and share with us gave me an understanding of the Samaritan culture in Jerusalem like I did not have before. Being around at times, because we're in religious tourist areas, sometimes you're not just around Christians, but you're around very religious people who don't know the Messiah. And it really opens up your understanding of that culture, that religious culture, also the Jewish culture as we're in Israel. So many things. That's what travel does. It opens your understanding. So I always learned so much when I travel.
All right. So
what's your number two?
I'm going to give my number two, and it's a location. And okay. It is, again, to go with my list, not a biblical one. It's the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is found in the Bible, but the Dead Sea is not necessarily a Christian or spiritual experience. It's more just a lot of fun. And I had so much fun at the Dead Sea this time. The first time I went, hardly anybody wanted to go and jump in. This time, almost everybody jumped in the water and smeared mud on themselves. And if you're not familiar with the Dead Sea and what that is, Google it. It is an amazing experience where you go down and it's all mineral enriched and salty, and you go and you float in the Dead Sea. And what's amazing about floating in the Dead Sea, because of the high salt content, you don't actually swim, you float.
Yes, it is. It's hard to explain because I've always heard that you just sit back and float, and I couldn't understand it. We just couldn't stop giggling. It is the strangest thing I've ever experienced. I'm going to add this for the beauty wise tips. People rub the mud all over themselves.
Oh yeah,
and then wash it off. And we did it too, kind of being funny, but kind of being for real. Next time I'm going to do it and spend even longer down there. I'm going to skip lunch, go straight to the Dead Sea, and I couldn't believe how my skin felt. It felt so soft. It really actually worked. It's the real deal. So I love the Dead Sea too.
No, we had so much fun. And just to be able to swim and float with all of our friends, Jason and Kimberly and Drew and Christina, it was amazing. It was a cool moment.
So my number one, the number one reason that I would encourage you to travel with us to Israel is to encourage your heart for the future. Mm. We had the chance to do something that I almost didn't do. I thought it was something I was saying, I will never do this again. I'm going to do it this time so I can get over with it. It was going up to the Dome of the Rock. Mm. And you have to understand, it's really it's the only time that things were a little bit nervous. It's in the heart of the city, but it's kind of under, not Israeli, it's under Israeli rule. How would you describe
control.
It? Muslim control. And they're very strict, very temperamental. They only allow visitors up there twice a week for an hour each time. So you have to get in line early. You stand there. You get in. If you're going to see something, you got to get there quickly. But obviously, you have to cover up. And you never know if they're going to say being covered to the elbow is enough, or you got to be covered all the way to the wrist.
It's
so
a little bit nerve-wracking.
It is a little bit nerve-wracking. Again, we were in great hands with our tour guide, and it's safe. Ultimately, it's safe. The soldiers up there, actually the Israeli Defense Force, you're in good hands. But still, it's an odd place, and I didn't want to do it. Just a lot that was going on that morning. I don't have time to share here, but I just remember thinking I'm going to do it now, get it over with, and never have to do it again. We went up there, and when you get up there, it's very peaceful, actually.
Yeah.
It's almost like a big, large open park that Muslims can enter at any time. And my favorite part of that was we went over to the Eastern Gate, right? This is where the temple was.
Yeah.
The Eastern Gate that the Messiah already entered through and that will return again through one day is over there. And being up there, I'd seen the Eastern Gate from the other side, seen it from the Mount of Olives, and seen there's graves. You need to know this. People being buried all along there so that they can rise up when the Messiah comes. So you see all these graves, which is fascinating. I'll never forget that view. But seeing it from the other side, and it's all cemented up. They've bricked it up, which to me is hilarious. You're going to stop the Messiah with bricks, you know, a little bit of mortar here, a little bit of concrete. But seeing that gate that the Lord is going to burst through from the inside and that he's going to bring true freedom and peace just overwhelmed my heart and was overall my favorite moment of the entire trip. And that's what you've got to remember when you travel. Just experience it. Do the things that you think you will enjoy. You may be surprised. That ended up being my favorite moment in the entire trip. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
I completely agree.
What is your number one?
Number one. The number one reason why you should travel with us or just travel to Israel with a group, and that is this. I put friends, which seems strange, but it really is. Let me explain. Heather and I love to travel, don't we? Right? We love
we
to
do.
Travel. And most of the time, we really like to travel kind of just our family or most even the time just you and
just
me.
Just even as a couple, yeah.
I don't think so with Israel. I think the way Israel needs to be experienced is with other Christians. In a group with friends where you can just really experience this together. And I've thought about this. I've been to Israel twice. And what made both trips are the relationships that are built or the relationships that are enhanced in the trip. So, for example, we went with many church members, some that we barely knew, and became very, very close.
Yes.
We went with people that are friends, deep friends, like the Palencias and like the Combs. And our friendship grew and deepened during those times. Mm-hmm. So to me, that in and of itself is a wonderful thing, because you are experiencing great food, fun, dancing, fellowship, as well as Bible study. At every location, we do a Bible study. And you're also just experiencing these spiritual moments together. So I would say that is a very, very good reason to join us on a trip to Israel.
In November 2019, we would love to see you there. Now, we are so glad you listened to this. If you've been to Israel already, we would love to hear your comments on our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Tell us what you loved about Israel. Tell us that spot that you didn't get to see that you want to go back and see. Or let us know if you've already signed up to join us in November of 2019.
And you can, again, easily call the church offices and say, put me on the list. It does require a $500 deposit, but we would love to get you to Israel with us.
On our next episode of The Bible Talks, we're going to be discussing the study of Jesus Christ.
Right. We're getting right into the actual doctrine of who is the Son of God. This, all of these theological episodes that we've discussed have all been leading to this moment where we're able to talk about the Son of God. We're very excited about it.
We hope you'll join us. And we're going to end today by asking you to make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't already done so, click that button, subscribe, so that you don't miss a single episode.
You can easily go to iTunes and subscribe even today.
Thanks for listening. And remember, when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.